Okay, good evening, everyone. I'm glad to meet with you all on this another day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's a good day. It's a good day indeed. And I want to wish all of the fathers a happy Father's Day to each one of you. I hope you had a good day. And to the rest of you, I hope that you had a good day as well.
We today, can't hear you, Sister Sanders.
Pardon? Who is that? Okay, I hope you had a good day as well. And we're going to continue in our study on this evening from the Gospel according to Luke. Luke chapter 17, where we will be concluding our study, which I said that last week, but I do hopefully plan on concluding the study on this week from Luke chapter 17. I hope you've been reading the chapter. I hope you've been reading along with us. Next week, Lord willing, and it is my every intent to finish this chapter. Next week, I plan on moving on to Luke chapter 18. So I would like to ask you to read ahead to Luke 18 as much as possible. I'm glad to see each one of you. This has been a good study, and now we're going to move on. Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, thanking you for all your blessings and all you've done for us on this day. You are a good God, and we praise you. And we give you thanks. Thank you, Lord God, for Jesus Christ, our Savior. Thank you, Lord God, for giving your only begotten Son that we might be saved and have a right to the tree of life. We praise you. We praise you for fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. And we pray, Lord God, that you would unite us together as one in Christian love. We thank you. And now we ask you to forgive us of our sins, dear Lord. And then we ask you, blessed God, our Father, to make us stronger in thee, mature us in the faith, Father, in the name of Jesus. And we'll be careful to give your name the praise forever. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Well, today, as I have said, we're going to conclude, that is my prayer, Luke chapter 17. I hope you have your Bibles because you need them. And we're not going to do a lot of review because we have a lot of territory to cover from this chapter. So let us get right into the chapter, because if I don't get right into it tonight, as you all know, the time slips away. It goes really fast in class, and we don't have a minute to waste. So having said that, Luke chapter 17, and we have seen, just backing up a few verses here, we have seen starting at Luke chapter 17, verse 22, where Jesus is prophesying, talking about days that will come. He tells us about future days that will come. He tells us also about days that will be. Well, that's the same thing as has come. So he lets us know the days will come when you will see, desire to see, one of the days of the Son of Man. We made a distinction between, in verse 22, there's a distinction between days. That note that plural, days, in verse 22, but also notice in verse 22 as well, where it says one of the days. So verse 22 goes back and forth between days, plural days, and then one of the days. One of the days, as you know, is singular, and one of the days is the day. It is the day of the Son of Man. when it says the day, it is the actual second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But in verse 23, it says, they will say to you, look here or look there. That is a prophetic day, and that is the day that we live in now, where people will be saying, there's Jesus, here's Jesus, look here, look there, you'll see him. Well, those are false prophets. If anyone tells you they've seen Jesus or Jesus is in some mountain somewhere, don't believe it. And there will be many that will say that in these last days, false prophets. Verse 24 lets us know that as the lightning flashes out of one part of heaven and shines to the other part under heaven, so also shall the Son of Man be in his day. So this tells us when Jesus comes again, every eye will see him. He'll be like the lightning coming, but the only thing is he will cover the entire earth, I'll say. So when Jesus comes, Revelation lets us know every eye will see him. Verse 25 tells us an order. It gives us an order of things. Verse 25 says, but first. So now it backs up, the scripture backs up and tells us before Jesus comes again, other things will happen. Other things must happen. Well, verse 25, it says, but first, before the second coming of the Lord, before that, he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. And we have seen that this generation refers to the generation that rejected Jesus, that crucified the Lord. It is that generation. It is even the current generation that we now live in. This is the generation where Christ was crucified. And this generation rejected Jesus. So when Jesus comes again, verse 25 lets us know he must first suffer many things. Well, we know that happened at his crucifixion, and he is still suffering even today. He is suffering by many people. Many people do not love our Lord, and they suffer, quote, suffer persecution at his hands. It is still a day of suffering. So Jesus will be suffer and be rejected by this current generation. So this is going on even now, and it will continue. Jesus being rejected by this generation, even the generation that we live in today. And we know that because you can look around and see most people reject the Christ. Most people do not love our Jesus. So this is a time of rejection. Now we go on to verse 26, and verse 26 looks ahead. So we're going to go a little further. I think maybe we started these verses, got to a little of it. But verse 26, it says, and as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. Now, I don't know who our reader was for those verses. If you know who you were right offhand, could you go ahead and read verse 26?
Miss Sadie? Verse 26.
Okay. And as it was, I'm going to get my glasses. I'm sorry.
Well, that's okay. We'll go on. We'll go on. If verse 26. Did you get them, Miss Sadie?
I don't have my glasses.
You got them?
No.
Okay, but we're going to go on because of time. That's the only reason.
I apologize.
Okay, that's no problem. That could happen. Verse 26. But, now we already seen in verse 25, first Jesus must suffer and be rejected by this current generation that we're living in. This current generation rejects Jesus, even though there are many believers. There's a remnant of believers, but most in this generation reject the Christ. Verse 26 now says, and as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. Well, what was it like in the days of the Son of Man? Well, verse 27 tells us, in the days of the Son of Man, they ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Now, even though this verse only has verse 26 and 27 is only comprised of two verses, but it covers a wide scan of things. Verse 26, first of all, we see it talks about the days of Noah. Well, most of us know the days of Noah happened a long time ago. As a matter of fact, the days of Noah were before the flood. The days of Noah were before the flood. And I'm assuming most of you know about the flood, but I know all may not. But keep reading your Bibles and you'll hear about the flood. Well, verse 26, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. So as I said last week, this is an equal sign, just like it was then, so it will be in the days of the Son of Man. So it's telling us, just like it was in the past. And you know, the past is what? The past is Noah's day. Now, Noah's day was way back there, long time ago. Noah is old. Noah was before the flood. And as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be also, and you could put there, in the last days. Well, not only in the last days, but in the days of the Son of Man. So these things will usher in the second coming and even the second coming of the Lord. This is how it's going to be when Jesus returns. So you say, well, Noah, we know Noah was way back in Genesis. Well, you would think a lot has changed. A lot has progressed. Man has grown. Man has learned a lot. But the Bible tells us it's just like it was in the days of Noah. Just like it was in the days of Noah. So it will be in the days of the Son of Man. Just like it was before the flood. And we know how it was before the flood, because verse 27 tells us they ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, and then we're going to stop at until. So we look at that verse, and it says, you might think, well, what's so bad about that? We do the same thing. Even us in this class, we do these things. What things? We eat, we drink, we marry wives, we are given in marriage. So these are common everyday things that people do. And at first glance, and only at a surface, you might say, what's wrong with that? Well, the thing is, they were doing ordinary things, things that humanity does, things that God created us to do as human beings. But one thing is left out, and the thing that is left out is God. It is a godless generation. They were doing everything. And a lot of those things were good things. You know, a lot of good goes on in the world. But if God is left out, it is not good. And I need to say Jesus Christ. If Jesus Christ, God, Jesus Christ is omitted, that's what makes it wrong. And so they were doing a lot of good. People do a lot of good, but Jesus was omitted. And then it says, well, that kept on going. Those things kept on going. And then now we meet up with a time word, and the time word is until. And if you write in your Bibles, and everyone does not, but if you write in the Bible, that is a linking word. It is linking times. It is saying these things went on. The marrying and all of that went on until. Until when? Until the day, and there's one of those, the day. The day, singular, the day, until the day. Now, you notice before, as I pointed out, sometimes it says days, and sometimes it says the day. So we see here, in verse 27, they kept on doing those things, good things perhaps, and a lot of bad was going on too. Good things perhaps, and they did those things without God. And they did those things until. So that's your Lincoln word, that something is going to change. They kept on doing those things. Godless society, it was a godless society. They kept on doing those things until. And with God, there will be an until. I can remember Reverend Wade saying, and I'm sure some of you remember as well, God's going to put this world to order one of these days. And that's still true. He would say God's going to call this world to order one of these days. And he was saying that back then. It's still good to say it now. God's going to call this world to order. Well, they were saying that was going on back in verse 27. It says in verse 27 Luke here, in verse 27, that kept on going until, that's a gear shift, until the day, it was a set day. And you can read about that in Genesis. You know, if you read about the flood, there was a set time that God told Noah to go build the ark and then get the animals in the ark and call your family into the ark. You know, build the ark, that took time. And that was preparation for others to come on in. Well, it says here, Noah built the ark until the day that Noah entered the ark. So there is a set time. Now, the ark is a type. It's a picture. It's a parable. It was a real ark. Don't get me wrong. It was a real ark. But it is also a picture of things. The ark is a type of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, he is our ark of safety. Jesus Christ is the one that protects us. What does he protect us from? Well, look at verse 27. It says, Noah entered that ark until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. now as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days of the second coming of the Son of Man. So what's the type? You know, what is it illustrating? It says, as it was in the day of Noah. Well, that tells us what happened in the days of Noah. In the days of Noah, we know a lot of rain came. We know not only a lot of rain, God destroyed the earth by a flood. He flooded this earth. Now, the flood, what does it represent? Well, the flood is a type, and it was more than a type, but it's also a type of God's judgment. God's judgment upon the world, upon the entire world. You know, it rained 40 days and it rained 40 nights, and all the earth was covered by that flood. And when the flood was done, only 8 souls came out of that ark. So when you think of human population and only 8 people were saved, that's a lot of people. A lot of people were destroyed through the flood. So that flood is representing God's wrath. Well, why? Wrath means anger. Wrath means God is upset. And this was a worldwide flood. Why is God angry? And angry at the world. He is angry at the world, not his own children. But God is angry the same reason he was in the days of Noah. It is because of sin. That's what was said in Genesis. That's why God is angry today, and God is still angry today. God is still angry. The Bible says in Psalms, God is angry every day. Now, we're under this day of grace. Thank God. We're under the day of grace. But that doesn't mean that God's righteousness is to be played with. God is still holy. That doesn't mean you can snub God. No one snubs God. So his righteous requirements must be met. So this verse here in Luke chapter 17, verse 27 tells us, they married wives, they did all of that until the day that Noah entered the ark. That ark was safety. Everyone who was in that ark, those 8 souls were saved. Everybody else was lost. Everybody else drowned by the flood. Everybody else was destroyed. And it was creation, except even the animals. All of that was destroyed, and only those 8 in the ark were saved. So, so in verse 28 again, it says, and the flood came. And that lets us know, if God said it, it's going to happen. You know, it's been a long time since the flood. You have to go way back in scripture to read about the flood. And for that reason, some people think it's not going to happen again. Well, really, that's a sign of God's patience and God's long suffering with man. God is very long suffering with man, but his long suffering is not to be taken for granted. And that's the scripture for that. I believe it's in 2 Peter. I'm not sure, but there is a scripture that lets us know, don't take God's long suffering for granted. And as a matter of fact, God's long suffering, some people take that as a reason to go ahead and sin. Oh, God isn't going to judge. I can sin and get by with it. People say that. I can sin and get by with it. Others say, oh, I've been hearing that since I was a kid. And that's a dangerous thing to do, is to play with sin. And so the flood did come because God will keep his word. Even though it's been over 2,000 years, God will keep his word. And look at how long-suffering God is. I mean, the days of Noah, before the days of Noah, the rain came before the days of Noah. So that lets you know God is very patient. I mean, he puts up per se with things. You know, God is just. He's not going to put up with things. But he lets things go on until the set time. So, and then what happened? Judgment came. The judgment came, and the judgment is the same way, is by death. And in the case of this verse here, verse 28, the death came through the flood. And it was worldwide. Now, that's something to ponder as well. That's a lot of people that God destroyed because of sin and his righteous law. His righteous law was transgressed, and God will not wink at sin. And so the flood did come, and it destroyed them all. So now we get to verse 28, and I'm just going to keep going. Verse 28, let me see who's reading here. Oh, okay, let me keep going here. Verse 28 tells us, likewise, you know, that's another one of those equal signs. Likewise, just like it was, likewise, as it was in the days of Lot. They ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. So it will be in the day when the Son of Man will be revealed. Now, if you notice, it's the same pattern. What's the pattern? Well, God judges sin. Sin must be judged. His righteous requirements must be kept. Someone, because God is righteous, someone must pay the penalty for sin. Someone must pay for sin. The Bible lets us know in Adam, all die. Somebody's got to pay for sin. And that's why we rejoice so much that Jesus came and paid the price for our sin. That is, if you trust in his atoning blood. So verse 28, as it was, equal sign, just like it was in the days of Lot. Well, what was it like in the days of Lot? Well, we need to think about that. What was it like in the days of Lot? Well, the verse tells us they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. And we would all say, what's wrong with that? Well, that's where you need the whole Bible. That's where you need the rest of the Bible. Because if you just stop at this verse in the Bible, you would say, what's wrong with that? But when you read, I just read it. Verse 28, I just read it. Likewise, as it was in the days of Lot. And they did normal things that we do in civilization. It says, now I need to read, we need to read, what was it like in the days of Lot? Because if I ask, well, somebody unmute themselves, and if you can, name a couple of things that tells us what it was like in the days of Lot. Now, most of us probably know what it was like in the days of Noah. But what's some things that characterize what it was like in the days of Lot? Could someone name a couple of things?
they bought and sold.
Well, a couple of other things than what's listed here in the Bible.
Rained fire.
Okay, that's also listed.
Men became lovers of themselves.
Men became lovers of themselves. That's one thing that people were like in the days of Lot. What else?
Wickedness and sexual immorality.
Okay, that's predominantly what Sodom. And why did I say Sodom? Because when you think of Sodom, well, it's right here in verse 28 and 29. It says in 28 and 29, so will it be in the days of Lot? Verse 29, on the day that Lot went out of Sodom. So those are your cues there. What do we know about Lot? And what do we know about Sodom? And when you think of Sodom, what do you think of? Someone?
I think they were like gambling and weren't concerned about God and keeping and obeying his laws.
That's certainly true. They weren't concerned about keeping and obeying his laws. But what are they infamous for? Sodom and Gomorrah.
Riotous living.
Riotous living. That's true. What are they primarily known for and notoriously known for, infamously known for?
Sexual immorality.
There you go. Sexual immorality. Well, when you put that, verse 28 and 29, as it was in the days of Lot, and then it tells us about the days of Lot, and then it says, but on the day that Lot went out of Sodom. Well, stopping right there, let me go ahead and answer the question more. What was it like in the days of Lot? Well, Lot was notoriously known for sexual immorality. Now, that's not the only thing they were known for, but that's what they were. You know, when you think of Sodom and Gomorrah, a lot of people think of sexual sin because that's what they were known for, sexual sin and immorality. Now, when you read verse 28, it doesn't say that. But when you read verse 29 and compare that to other scriptures, that's what they are famous for, is their sexual immorality. So let's look at a couple of verses. Let's go to Genesis. Let's go back to Genesis. Let's go back to Genesis. Now you can go way back in Genesis. Like, it starts before where I'm going to turn to today because of time. So I just encourage everyone to keep reading their Bible. Okay, in Genesis chapter 18. Now, we keep in mind as well, God said as it was in the days of Noah. Then he's going to tell us as it was in the days of Lot. So now here in verse, let's start at verse 20, chapter 28. Let's start at chapter 19 of Genesis, verse 28. Now I'm skipping a lot of scripture, so it's up to you to read those chapters on your own. Genesis chapter 19, starting at chapter 19. Now this is God, and he's getting ready to judge. He's getting ready to judge, pour out judgment. Okay, so in verse 19, I'm sorry, in chapter 19, God says, God is talking, and the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom, because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is great. Now that's the reason, because of sin, and because their sin is great. Well, God says, I will go down now. And notice that, because I said, if last week I've said it, before God judges, he takes a look. And it's not like God can't see. And it's not like God doesn't know. But it's like in parable form to me, he takes another look as if to say, am I really seeing it like it is? Because God is a God, he must judge. He's a righteous God that must judge. But it's like God is reluctant to judge because God loves mankind. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God is a loving God, but sin must be judged. So here in Genesis 19, verse 20, it says, because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin, and that's the cause, their sin is great, I will go down now. And it's not like God has to go anywhere, you know. But he says here, I will go down now and see. So God is a witness. He witnesses, he already knows. But before he judges, it's as if he says, let me look at this and see if I'm really seeing it right. Well, God can only see things right. So he goes down now and he sees, let go down because their sin is great. Let go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry against it that has come to me. And if not, I will know it. So God is witnessing. God looks. Now God already knows, but he witnesses. You know, he is his own witness. So he takes another look and he witnesses their sin. And then the angels, these are angels in verse 22, it says, then the men turned away from there and went to toward Sodom. But Abraham stood still before the Lord. Okay, so verse 22 now, and this is a prayer is being prayed, and this is intercessory prayer being prayed by Abraham. Because God looks for a man or a woman to stand in the gap. Somebody pray. Well, here, God is looking for someone to pray. Looking as if, you know, looking for someone to pray. Well, verse 23 has this intercessor, someone to stand in the gap and someone to pray. Well, this is a fascinating passage of scripture in verse 23. And Abraham came near and said, would you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Now notice that word destroy, because God is getting ready to judge. He's getting ready to judge. And he says, Abraham intercedes on behalf of the righteous. And Abraham says, would you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there were 50 righteous in the city. Would you also destroy the place and spare it? for the righteous, for the 50 righteous that were in it. And then verse 25, Abraham says, far be it from you to do the thing that is, I'm sorry, you all, bear with me. Far be it from you to do such a thing that is to slay the righteous with the wicked. So God's going to separate. He's not going to slay the righteous with the wicked. So most of you know the story, but God, it goes on in verse 26, and the intercessor says, and God said, verse 26, the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sake. Now look at that percentage. A city. I mean, it's a city. And the Lord says, if I can just find 50 righteous, you know, if I can just find 50 righteous, I won't destroy the city. And then it comes on down, and we see in verse 20, in verse 22, and you have to read it for yourself, but the numbers come on down. In verse 28, it says, if I find 45. In verse 29, it says, so suppose that there be 40. Chapter 18, verse 30. If I find 30, and God says, I will not do it if I find 30. Now you got to think of a big city here. This was a big city, Sodom and Gomorrah. Was big cities here. And God is bringing on down, and the percentage comes on down in verse 31. He said, indeed, now I have taken upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose that 20 be there. So God said, he said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. You know, that's something for us to think about. We think, most people are saved. Well, scripture lets us know there are few. But let me keep with the scripture here. Verse 31, Genesis chapter 19. Verse 31, suppose 20 be found there.
Chapter 18.
Okay, Genesis chapter 18, verse 31. Genesis 18, verse 31. Am I right?
Yeah.
Okay, so God says, I will not destroy it for the sake of 20. So he said, this is God. He said, let not the Lord be angry. Suppose I will speak once more. Suppose 10 be found in the city. So it brings it on down to 10. And then it says, and he said, I will not destroy it for the sake of 10. Verse 33, that's it. Verse 33 says, so the Lord went his way. As soon as he had finished speaking with Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. Now, when you read Genesis chapter 19, go on with the reading. We're not going to have time to read it all tonight, but we're going to find out that God did indeed destroy the city. So we look here, and he destroyed it for, as I said, sin, but in particular, sexual sin, but sin. And read this passage on your own. But verse 5 tells us, verse 4 says, now before they lay down, the men of the city, the young, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, both young and old, all the people from every quarter, surrounded the house. So that's the sexual sin getting ready to happen here. All the men surrounded, they came from every quarter. Now we already know the percentage. Wasn't even 10 righteous. So that lets you know how many. And verse 5, they wanted to know, they called to Lot and said to him, where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us that we may know them carnally or sexually. Bring them out to us. And then the scripture goes on. I encourage you to read it on your own, but we're going to see here that it ended up in verse 24. In verse 24, it says, then the Lord rained fire, and then the Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. So he overthrew those cities, all the plain, all the inhabitants of the city, and what grew on the ground. And then Luke mentions verse 26. Luke says, but his wife, that's Lot's wife, his wife looked back behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. So the Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed. The wife, Lot's wife, she looked back. And that's the danger in any of us going back. Don't go back. If God delivers you and brings you out, now that doesn't mean we're perfect people, but there is a danger in going back. And we could see that danger here with Lot's wife. And so they were destroyed. Now the difference is, and I'm skipping a lot because I want to cover still a lot, and there's a lot more to be said. But let's go back to Luke chapter 28. And back in Luke, it says, as it was in the days of Lot. Now, if you notice, you might think, well, I thought we were talking about Noah. Because we were talking about Noah, right? We were talking about Noah. And Noah is connected with here in 28, as it was also in the days of Lot. Well, Lot, now when we read about Lot in verse 29, it says on the same day that Lot went out of Sodom. Now that's a big difference there. Lot went out of Sodom. So now when you think about the flood and you think about Noah, one difference is, big difference between Noah and Lot. Big difference is, major difference is, Noah went in. Noah went into the ark and he was saved. Whereas with Lot, we know Lot was saved too. And a lot of times we don't think of that, but Lot was saved. And Lot, verse 28 in Luke, it says, as it was in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom. So Lot did escape Sodom. Now that lets us know several things. One thing is God has some people that know him, even in a sinful place, but they can't stay in that sin if they're God's people. So God here, Lot is called out, and it says right here, on the day that Lot went out of Sodom. So that Lot went out of Sodom. That's the point I'm trying to bring out now. Now, after Lot got out, that's where you need to read the rest of Genesis. That Lot did escape. And that's in the rest of Genesis, those chapters that I had to run over there. That Lot did go out of Sodom. And after Lot got out of Sodom, he escaped. It says when Lot got out, because God's going to separate the righteous from the wicked. And that's what's going on here. God is separating the righteous from the wicked. So on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. So everyone that didn't get out, and in effect, everyone that was not covered by the blood, everyone that was not redeemed, they suffered the judgment of God. Now let's look at another scripture for this. Let's go to several scriptures we could go to, but let's go to 2 Peter. I believe that's where I want to go. 2 Peter. Let me find it myself here. 2 Peter, I believe I want chapter 2. 2 Peter, chapter 2. Second Peter chapter 2. Second Peter chapter 2. Okay, Second Peter chapter 2. Now let's look at chapter 2, verse 4. Second Peter chapter 2, verse 4. And it says, for if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment. God did not spare the ancient world. That's that world before Noah, in Noah's day. Verse 5, and did not spare the ancient world, God saved Noah, one of eight people out of the whole world. God saved one of eight. Well, like I have mentioned before, God's always going to have a people. So here, back before the flood, there was this people. And it tells us, verse 5, God did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly. And that's that flood back in Noah's day. And then God brought judgment, and he brought in the flood, upon Noah's day. Now, and then it says in verse 6, and turning, now look how big the leap is here, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, and making them, look at these words, he made Sodom and Gomorrah, he made them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly. So God has already showed us what he will do with sin. And some may say, well, that was a long time ago. Our time is wrapping up. That was a long time ago. But God is the same God. And as he judged back then with Sodom and Gomorrah, he will judge again. And then this verse in 2 Peter says, and delivered, God delivered righteous Lot. He delivered Lot, who was oppressed by the filthiness, by the filthy conduct of the wicked. So sometimes we think of Lot, and he may be put with the wicked because he's often associated with Sodom and Gomorrah. But actually, Lot was a righteous man. And you know, Lot was a righteous man. And that's what it says in 2 Peter here. God delivered just Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked. So Lot was in the world, but Lot, even though he was in the world, and when you read about God destroying Sodom and Gomorrah, and some of you know the rest of the story, Lot wasn't in a hurry to get out of Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, Lot was hesitant, and that's something you need to read too. But he was God's people, and God delivered him, but he was reluctant to get out. So there's a lot that can be said there. Now, our time is up. We only have a couple of minutes. I have said I want to go on to chapter 17, and I do. But I'm going to finish reading these verses here. Luke chapter 17 ends with a warning here. It tells us, Luke chapter 17, I got to read fast. Luke chapter 17, verse 30. Even so, it will be, our time is up, even so it will be when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he who is on the hot housetop and his goods are in the house, don't come down to take them. And likewise, he who is in the field, don't turn back. Remember Lot's wife. And I'm going to stop there with our chapter. There's more that can be said, but I do want to move on to Luke chapter 18. But I'm going to end with this warning here where God tells us, and this is a good place to end, remember Lot's wife. So that tells us, don't go back to the world system. You know, we can be tempted, but don't turn back. Remember Lot's wife. Father, we thank you for your word, a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. We ask you to be with us until we meet again. Keep us in your care and supply our every need. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Amen. I was wondering if we could do one united prayer for our teacher before. Those of you that have to leave, you know, you can. But if you would stay with us for a few minutes. Sister Rochelle, did you see my little text? I mean, little chat? Rochelle Krause. Or would someone like to lead us in a prayer for our teacher going through this sickness? And there are others going through also.
if you want to include them in too, but let's do a combined prayer. And I could leave, but if Rochelle, Sister Rochelle Croft, do you hear me? Or with someone?
Yes.
Would you leave?
Hello?
Yes.
I'm sorry, I had to get my daughter to unmute me.
Oh, okay.
I can hear you.
All right.
I'm just going to ask for one combined prayer.
Yes.
To be led by Sister Rochelle Croft.
All right.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come before you, Lord, and we worship you. And we give you the praise and the glory. We thank you that you are the spotless Lamb of God that came and died for the sins of the world. And the blood that was shed on Calvary is sufficient for our sins, our sickness, and our disease. We thank you that that blood has never lost its power. Lord, we lift up our teacher, our sister, and our friend before you in the name of Jesus. Lord, we know you created her in her mother's womb. And we know, Lord, you that made her knows how to heal her. And Lord, we believe you. We believe your report, Lord. We believe that you are still able to heal. You are still able to deliver. You're still able to set free. So Lord, we stand on our faith. We stand in the gap. We intercede on behalf of Belma. Lord, we lift her up before you, Lord. We lift her under the flow of that blood that was shed on Calvary. Because you said you were wounded for our transgressions. You were bruised for our iniquities. And by your stripes, we are healed. You said, Lord, you sent your word and healed. Lord, we know that your word is able. And we stand on your word, Lord. Believe in God. Believe in that Belma still has work to do, Lord. You sent her, you ordained her, you prepared her. And she has been faithful to the charge that you have called her and set her hands to do. And Lord, just as you did King Nebuchadnezzar, he said, Lord, the grave cannot praise you. Lord, and when he put his face to the wall, you gave him 15 more years. We asked you, Lord, to extend the life of our sister Belma. Heal her, extend her, and let the faithful work that you have called her go forth in Jesus' name. Oh, Lord, we thank you and praise you that you're well able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think by that power that works in us. So we give you the glory in advance. We're not going to wait till the battle is over, Lord. We're going to shout right now for what you're going to do in our life. We thank you in Jesus' name we pray.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
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 Yeah.
Amen.
God bless everyone.
Glory.
Thank you.
We pray for one another.
We pray for one another.
Yeah.